My name is Andrew Peremski. I am the owner and craftsman at Enterprise Art Glass in Milwaukee.
So before we get into the stained glass bungalow windows, how did you yourself get into this unique line of business?
I started out as an apprentice working for a large stained glass company in New Berlin, Wisconsin, traveling around the country, restoring churches and historical landmarks for many, many years.
So our question asker is wondering about the stained glass windows found in a lot of Milwaukee homes, particularly the bungalow style homes. So what era of architecture are we talking about in the building year span here?
I would say that you're looking at a time period for the Milwaukee bungalow from about 1905, 1910 until approximately 1930s. Right in there. Maybe I don't even think it goes much into the early 40s of that craftsman style, you know, that arts and crafts style, that real iconic kind of characteristic of Milwaukee that you see kind of all over, you know. It's been, you know, changed a lot over time, but, you know, the original homes really had a certain stylistic sort of flavor, you know, to Milwaukee. Those homes are, you know, pretty relevant to Milwaukee. You know, I mean, people from all over know it as a Milwaukee bungalow, you know, and that's kind of what it is, you know.
So I assume these kind of Milwaukee bungalows were mass produced in a way. So can you go into, you know, say a builder buys a block and was it a lot of just craftsmen brought on hand to help the overall process of the house? Because how common were these windows? Was it just a standard of this design that was being built by so many?
Well, the concept of the mass production of homes is from the time period. There were craftsmen that were specific to their trade. So your trade was very important, you know, whether it was a historical thing in your family, a lineage or whatever. Each group had their specific task. And so you'd hire a mason. They would do all the masonry work, you know. They might evolve into the stucco work. You had your glass companies, you had your wood craftsmen, and all the wood for these old craftsman homes, the woodwork was done on site. So you wouldn't have a shop really make, other than, you know, maybe establishing the doors, but to build things in place, that was very common. So your craftsmen would have a setup on site. Just same thing with the Cream City bricks. They were poured and fired in the basement of homes. So, I mean, it was a common thing for almost all the work to be done on site, but not everything. Like the doors would have been probably made in the shop, the doors for it, but they had to establish the openings and things. And every home kind of had, you know, this one is different by 3 inches one way or another. And, you know, so everything was custom. There wasn't a prefab sort of thing. But as you got into the windows of the framing of the home, they tried to standardize things to a degree. In making things a certain size made it easier for the glass companies and the door manufacturers to build sort of standard things that they could then pre-order, you know, X amount of these openings of these style of windows, same thing with the doors. So that was part of that relevance, I guess.
Well, and I see you have a catalog here. So, you know, we think perhaps this is, while it's maybe unique to Milwaukee homes, these stained glass designs are not. It's pretty standard in a catalog that came through for builders.
Yeah, I mean, with the, the National Ornamental Glass Manufacturers Association, we had a catalog that was basically a blueprint for designs that would have been available for people to use. Now, that was available all around the country. It wasn't just something that was established just for Milwaukee. Now, the designers and the artists in Milwaukee may have evolved their craft together as an org, you know, as a group, and stylized their glass a certain way. But I think in the overall, the glass was, you know, relevant to the period. just like there was the Victorian period, then Milwaukee moved into the arts and crafts period, then kind of changed into the prairie style, a little bit more into the geometrics, and then it all vanished. You know, then there was nothing. In the 40s and the 50s, it was blah. Yeah. You know, there really was no ornamental, you know, effort really put into these homes other than just build them. I mean, it was right after the war, or they were during the war, and you know, this wasn't the focus. I mean, you had your house and you were lucky to have a house. You know, I think a lot of people have renovated homes. They've covered up windows. Windows have been taken out. That's the unfortunate factor. But I think a lot of people, too, still love them so much. And that's kind of why our studio exists, is to bring them back. For the people who've lost them, for the homes that you can see that there was they were there once, but now they're gone, and we'll put them back.
With the structure of the windows, you know, we have our outlines of the design and then different colored glass within it. Can you explain the process of doing that?
Well, the process would be, I mean, for how we do it today, everything starts from a concept. You have to have a drawing, you have to have an image of something. And if it's historical work, we'll work from photographs of the original windows that were in the home. And then we draw a full-size drawing based off of the size of the opening. From that point, we go to what's called a pattern, where we trace that design onto a pattern paper that we can cut out and utilize to cut the glass from. Once that pattern is established, then we will choose the glass that's going to go into the design. That glass will then be cut and finished on the edges where need be. Then the glass is then assembled with either lead or zinc, copper or brass, or it's copper foiled together to create the metalwork in between each piece of glass. That's then soldered on both sides. Once the panels are soldered together and they're solid now into their square form or whatever circular form they are, based off of the opening size, then the panels are cemented, which is a process of weatherproofing the windows, so to speak. The panels are packed on both sides and cleaned, and then cleaned again, and then probably one more cleaning just to make sure, because it's a dirty process. We will apply buffing techniques and apply patina to windows if need be to blend things in. In historical homes, we don't do a lot of the patina work because the panels are, it's a historical process, meaning that, you know, this is the effort that was done at this time. So they want to see that process, you know, noted and not covered up, which patina covers up, you know, the new work. But sometimes it's important to blend things in, and that's what the patina will do, you know, for a new window to help make it look old.
When there were manufacturers making these windows for builders, where did they get their glass from?
Well, the glass was ordered based off of the type of glass that was needed. So you had your colored stained glass, which would have been made by Kokomo opalescent glass out of Kokomo, Indiana. You had Wismock Ornamental Glass Company. You had a number of other ones in the country in the early part of the 1900s that were producing stained glass, and a lot of small little companies as well that, you know, made a great product, enough of a great product too, that was utilized in some large manufacturing processes, which is what's unfortunate today, because that glass is gone. You know, whether it was Tiffany glass or, you know, a certain type of textured colored glass that, you know, that the roller or the table it was made on is long gone. You're never getting that texture again. Honestly, it's reinventing the wheel in a big way to try to put some of that glass back into the marketplace. But they would order it from large manufacturing companies. There's also wholesalers that they would be able to get product from to put together their windows. But the window companies in Milwaukee, there weren't many glass manufacturers. The manufacturers were in other cities, and they would produce the glass based off of their raw elements that they could gather for the process, okay? Meaning that up in Minnesota, there was a lot of silica sand. So a lot of clear glass was manufactured up there at the time. And making stained glass requires a kiln. Well, all glass, it requires it has to be melted first and then laid out in the sheet form. So, you know, it's an expensive process. And Kokomo was lucky enough at the time. They actually had a natural gas reservoir right underneath their building that the natural gas company didn't know about for many, many years. And they were able to produce for nothing. I mean, other than raw material. But it's not a real, I know. And then all of a sudden they got you know, tapped, and then they started paying for it. But I mean, nowadays, the cost to produce glass is just getting so incredibly expensive. It's hard to keep going for those big companies, you know, because the use for what we do, it's not that it's dwindling, but we are not producing glass today in stained glass production to the same level that we were in the 1900s, early 1900s, up until, say, 1930s and 40s with the homes. In the stained glass in the churches was still thriving and very prevalent up until probably the 1960s and 70s of certain styles. And, you know, they still build new churches today, but and new homes for that matter. But there's a lot of things that are prefabbed in other countries that these builders today will just, you know, they'll just order it because it's way less expensive. You know, you can buy a transom for a window with a thermal pane. It's built in the middle. It's built over in China, and it, you know, cost them, you know, $150 right. to get it shipped in. And, you know, that puts us out of business. You know, that's the problem with that. But, yeah. You know, it's relevant. But there's always a need for a custom design and, you know, certain things like that.